I'd like to welcome all of you. I got here a little early this morning, took shower, and driving to church with my family on this first day of the year. And it felt good and right. Did you feel like that? It was such a beautiful day. And, you know, last night we had a worship service and try to end this year with the Lord. And that feels really right too. Do you know He's the beginning and the end? Do you know? Bible says He's the beginning and the end. Just as there is a beginning for your 2022, there was an end to 2022. And you know there's going to be a end. Just as today is the beginning of 23, there's going to be an end. And you intuitively know there's going to be an end to your life as well. You intuitively know. Maybe you try to ignore it. But I just felt so right to be driving toward church after shower. Okay. I hope you took shower. Yeah. And coming to church, worship the Lord, and have this beginning with the Lord. January 1st, 2023. Do you have anything in mind that you're going to do differently this year than last year as far as following Christ? Or did you just start? Do you have anything resolved in your heart, that you're going to do differently this year than last year? I hope you do. If you don't have anything like that, I hope Lord will speak to you. If you are just kind of scarcely come to church and really not engage, do you want to continue like that? Is that okay with you? I really encourage you to have some sort of like a resolve in your heart, especially as we listen to the Word of God today. And we are continuing the exposition of Philippians, letter to Philippians. And this is the eighth message. And the title is, Have This Mind of Jesus, Part 2. Okay? It's like a trilogy, Lord of the Ring. Okay? Next week, Part 3. And have this mind of Jesus. If you could just focus. It sounds like Bible and or God commands things that are so impossible to us. Doesn't it sound like that? Have this mind of Jesus Christ. Just as, let me give you more examples, such as, be holy as I am holy. How do you do that? That's impossible. Be ye holy as I am holy. Give you a couple more. Love one another as I have loved you. Sounds just not possible. It's just whatever. Right? Give you one more. Forgive each other as I have forgiven you. Do you have someone that you cannot forgive? I know you do. Maybe not all of you, but some of you do. It could be someone distant, but usually it's someone very, very close to you. You cannot forgive. But Bible says, forgive each other as I have forgiven you. And today, have this mind of Jesus. So, here's the thing. If these things are impossible, and it is, by human means and human strength, why does Bible and or God would repeatedly and command and say things like that? Forgive each other as I have forgiven you. Love one another as I have loved you. It sounds like most people take it as, okay, it sounds like I got to try. At least I got to try. I got to at least try as best as I can. Or do it as much as you can. Okay, beginning, resolution, New Year's resolution. I'm gonna be loving to other people. Is that what it is? Can I ask you, in your soul, do you have any resolve? Or are you just saying it? It can't be that, right? It can't be that. Bible cannot be asking that is so impossible to do and repeatedly asking you to do and knowing that you can't do it and yet continue to tell you to do it. Why does Bible speak like that then? Here's the key. Okay, if you notice the things that I repeated to you, love one another as I have loved you. Forgive each other as I have forgiven you. Be ye holy as I am holy. Have this mind of Jesus Christ, which has demonstrated as a human being. I hope you're getting this. It's not about you trying. In fact, you have already given up on that already. You don't even want to try. Do you try? Right? It's not about ethics. It's not about morals. It's not about your trying. Because I know you don't try. You maybe try for a little bit, but deep inside you already know you have given up. It can't be about that. But it is about something that man Christ Jesus have demonstrated. Okay? And Christians believe that Christ lives in me. How many of you do believe that Christ lives in you? Would you say amen? It's not morality. It's not ethics. That's religion. That's religiosity. But Christ lives in me is the gospel reality. Is that a lie? If it is a lie, then what are you doing here? Right? Yeah, you say, yeah, but Jesus is no mere man. He's no mere human being. And the answer is, yes, he's not mere human being, but he is fully human being. Do you realize that? You have to get this teaching doctrine right. Jesus is fully human being. Okay? At the same time, simultaneously, fully God. No, he's not a mere human being, but he's fully human being. John MacArthur said, completely incomprehensible to our mind, Jesus not only became a man, God-man, in the incarnation or Christmas, but also, listen to this, also, he will forever be God-man. Maybe you didn't know this. Jesus right now has a human body. Did you know that? He's sitting on a throne with a human body. He came into history, took on a human body. Historically, just as you were born, he was born as a baby. Just as you were born as a baby, he was born as a baby. Just as you grew up in stature and wisdom, he grew up in stature and wisdom. Just as you feel the pain of family problem, he felt it too. Just as you feel the loneliness, he felt loneliness. Just as you feel hunger, he was hungry. I mean, I could identify with that. He was hungry. Remember, he was tempted in the desert for 40 days, and he was hungry. He experienced thirst, just as you experienced thirst. To the extreme, on the cross, he said, I am thirsty. He experienced rejection, just as you may have experienced it. He experienced that sorrow, sadness. When something horrible happens at home, don't you feel sorrowful? He experienced betrayal, just as you have experienced betrayal. Did anybody experience betrayal in your life? I have. I know you have. Right? He became a fully human being, fully human being. He experienced all the human experience that you experience. But he experienced more. He experienced death you did not experience yet. He experienced a lot more. He experienced the judgment of God that you did not experience yet. Do you follow? He became a fully human being. So he's a fully God, fully man forever. He's going to return with the body. Get this, people. I'm going slow because I don't think you know. A lot of people don't know this. even the ones who's been going to church, even the ones who study theology, does not know that. It's a biblical teaching that he has a human body. He's forever God-man. It's just fascinating. It's just such a staggering truth about Jesus. And what has that got to do with me? The truth is, he became man so that we could become like Jesus. Would you say amen if you're beginning to understand? Would you say amen? He became a man so that you could become more like Jesus. I hope you understand this. That is why he's saying, be holy as I'm holy. That is why forgive each other as I have forgiven you. That is why he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. It is not moral, ethical religion. Christianity is not that at all. In fact, all the religion is religion. It's about you trying. Do your best as you can. But Christianity is not that. It's not that at all. You can't do anything. That's why he came and he has done it for you. Different? Slightly different? Very, very different. Today, we pick up from last week. And what was the point of Jesus, who is a being in very nature God, fully God, become a human being and going all the way to the cross? What is the point? There's got to be a point, right? What's the point? Don't you wonder that? That's what the gospel is. What is the point of God, fully God, became a fully man, God-man, and he did not stop there, but he went all the way to the cross. He hung on a tree. Could you picture that? Could you picture a person hanging on a tree? Because that's what Christian gospel is. Could you picture, let's not pick someone, okay? A person hanging on a tree. Does that look good? No, it's not good. What does that represent? Two things. Cursed and rejected and abandoned. That's what it is. I'm going to explain this, okay? Let's look at today's text. This special section in Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11, known as the diamond of Christ, Christological gem. And we are taking our time, kind of going slowly. Last week we looked over two verses, 6 and 7. Today we're just going to look at one verse. Okay? It's worth looking at it. One verse. Carefully. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, morphe of God, very nature of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself. That's his action in the eternity. Why? What did he have in mind? Right? By taking on the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Why did he do that? Because he did not count equality with God. So he became a fully human being. So found in human form. When Jesus was born, he was a Jewish baby. Okay? Even the second generations who were born in this country, when you married another second generation Asian, your child will probably look like an Asian. Because it's the form of a man. It's the schema of men. Do you remember when Jesus was saying such things with authority, basically, Father and I are one. And basically, wait a minute, isn't he the son of the carpenter? What are they saying? They're basically saying, isn't he a human being? That's just a human being. That's the son of the carpenter. Why is he saying he's God? He had a full human appearance. Full human appearance. He looked like a human being. He was a baby, and he grew. He pooped and ate and grew in stature and grew in wisdom. He learned how to talk. He grew in wisdom. It's beyond our comprehension. He's fully God and fully human being. So found in human form, what did he do? He humbled himself. He was humble in eternity. When did he empty himself? Before the creation, there was no such thing as time and space constraint. So he was always humble. He's a humble king. That's what we sang today. Christianity is about kingdom, the king of that kingdom is humble. The difference between, I was just kind of, you know, listening as we were singing, the difference between the kingdom of God and the other kingdom, the world, is this. The kingdom of God, king is humble, but the kingdom of this world, everybody is proud. That's by nature. Sin by nature is self-centered. Without God's intervention in your life, all you're going to think about is you. Not your husband, not your child. You want your child to be the way you want him to be or her to be. You get very, very upset unless you control them. Are you a controlling parent? There are so many controlling parents. So the children grow up basically so scared to submit and to please my mom, my father. Controlling. What is that? You are the king over that person's life, and you are a proud person. Entire humanity, we were born as a selfish, proud people. That's by sin nature is. But amazingly, the kingdom of God, which is the eternal kingdom, king was always humble. So if you're part of that kingdom, you know what humility is. You will be humble. That's the difference, right? That's what I was thinking. So today we want to pick up. Last week we talked about humility in eternity, humility in his birth. Today we want to just talk about one thing, humility in his death. Every single person sitting in this room, you're going to have to die. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to. Me too. It's necessity for you to die. And the reason being, there is a reason. The wage or penalty of sin is death. That's why you have to. You're scheduled to die. It's in your Google calendar. It is. Every single one of us. But Jesus, who is God-man, was without sin. He is God. He has no reason to die. So he had to be obedient to die. Do you hear me? The wonder of a Christian message is that we're all going to have to die, and we are scheduled to die, and it's necessary for us to die, but Jesus, who is God, being in very nature God, who is without sin, and therefore there is no reason for him to die, and he died because of his obedience, which comes from humility. Can I just give you a side implication? Humble people obey. Do you obey well? Or do you always try to, you know, always try to make a fuss? Humble people obey. Do you see the proximity between those two words? Verse 8. He, being in found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient. Do you see the proximity? That's how it works. When you're humble, you listen. The reason you do not listen is because you are proud, because you are king. I'm not listening to anybody. Who are you? That's exactly what sin is, isn't it? I want to be God. I want to take the place of God. That's exactly what sin nature is. And that nature, unless it changes, you're going to live in that and you're going to die in that. Okay? So what we want to talk about is, I want to just jump. This is from Korean service. I wanted to have enough time sharing the gospel at the end. So Jesus, who took on a form or morphe of his servant and being born as a human being, in other words, that means he became fully human being, and he was born as a Jewish baby. Could you picture that? Jewish baby without a human father. He was born by virgin birth. How does that happen? By Holy Spirit. Do you remember in Romans chapter 4, it says God calls into existence the things that does not exist. He's talking about Isaac. He calls into existence the things that does not exist. Isaac was impossible baby. Do you realize that? His mother was 90 years old, and his father was 100 years old. How many of you were born when your mother was 90 years old? It's an impossibility. She's way beyond menopause, and he's way beyond menopause. Impossible, impossible, and then gave a birth. How did that happen? Because God calls into existence by faith. Because God could call into existence that does not exist. Just like Isaac, Jesus was birthed through human body of Mary, who was probably about 13 years old. Can you picture that? It's so unethical to even think like that. But culturally, in Palestine, young virgin, they get married around when they're 13, 14. Mary was probably a 13, 14-year-old who knew no men. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, God calls into existence, and Christ came in a way we will never understand. He was birthed as a human being. Okay? And he grew in stature and wisdom, fully experiencing all of the human experiences, including hunger, tiredness. He was tired, so tired that he fell asleep in a boat, in the stern of the boat, when there was a storm. Do you remember that? He felt loneliness. He felt sorrow. He felt pain. He felt losing a family member. Do you remember when he was dying and he lost his mom, right? Losing his mom. John, please take care of my mom. He experienced that. Rejection. Betrayal. How many of you experienced betrayal in your life? I know you have. Some parents walked away. Some spouse walked away. Some close friend walk away. Business partner stab you in the back. You experience rejection. He experienced rejection. He experienced accusation. He experienced humiliation. How many of you hung on a tree with just your underwear? People spitting at you. He experienced weakness. He experienced sorrow. He experienced thirst to the extreme. On the cross, I'm thirsty. He experienced agony, and he experienced death that you did not experience, that I did not experience yet. Yet without sin. Fully human being, though he was never not God. He was fully God, fully human being. Okay? That is why in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, Hebrews, book of Hebrews, Jesus is our high priest, great high priest. Why is that? Because for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Do people understand your weaknesses, your situations? Do people want to hear you? Do people care about you? He does. Right? Why? Because we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we have, yet without sin. In other words, he experienced every human experience that you have experienced. That's amazing. He's God. He knows what it means to see broken family. He does. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to be stabbed from the back. He knows what it is to be someone you trust and would not say anything about you to defend you. Right? Therefore, let us draw near to him with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And he's calling you to come to him. It's kind of funny because we always tell people to do that, but you refuse to do that. You would rather sulk. You would rather cry and lonely and bitter than come to him. That's how our human foolishness is asking you to come to him. Draw near. Can I just explain Hebrews, book of Hebrews, okay, basically compares two sacrificial systems. Old Testament sacrificial system, New Testament sacrificial system. Stay with me because this is important to understand the gospel, okay? Old Testament sacrificial system is this. Israelite, God has chosen them and made a covenant. Basically, this is it. I'm going to be your God. Why? Grace. Love of God. That's it. I'm going to be your God, and I'm going to be faithful to you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to be faithful to you, which is an impossibility for a human being. But God said, I'm going to be your God. Okay? So he starts with that kind of relationship of grace. And in order for the relationship to be in relationship of God and his people, he has given the law. Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. When you hear the word law, you may have a negative connotation. But let me give you some examples. Do not kill each other. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? That's a good thing. Honor your mother and father. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing. Do not commit adultery. Do not sleep with anyone. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Do not be covetous, stealing each other's. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing. In other words, the law is a good thing. You know why? Because it reflects the character of God. Okay? Basically, Ten Commandments could be divided into two. Love God and love your neighbors. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. But what happened? They cannot keep up with the law. In fact, they refuse to listen to the law. They sleep with each other, multiple partners, even animals. They kill each other. They steal from one another. Instead of worshiping God only, there are so many idols. Many of you are dealing with idolatry right now. And I hope you do. They cannot keep up with the law. The people are lawbreakers. Let me ask you, when you break the law of the United States, what happens to you? Let's say you're driving on a 495 LIE, driving 90 miles an hour, where speed limit is what? 55? Okay, 55. So you get caught. What happened? You will be penalized. You're going to have to pay the penalty. What would that be? Maybe $500. I don't know. Oh, that's painful. But let me give you an example. You're driving on a highway, driving toward east. There is no one on the highway. So you're driving 90 miles an hour, and you hit someone. And you killed him. What's going to happen to you? You broke the law, and you kill someone. What's going to happen to you? You'll be penalized. Maybe 20 years, maybe 30 years. In other words, if you break the law, you will be penalized. What happens when you break the law of God? You will be penalized. You will be penalized. Do you follow? So that's the Old Testament sacrificial system. For you have broke the law and offended the king, therefore you need to be penalized. But if you get penalized, you're going to all die. So instead of that, God give a way that you don't have to die and live. And that's someone else die for you. Who's that someone else? Lamb of God, a lamb. An animal sacrifice. Animal takes your law breaking, placed upon it. Sin was placed upon him. Crime is placed upon it. And the priest kills it and takes the blood, the death, which represents the death and life, to the altar and show to God. What is that? Old Testament sacrificial system of God forgiving his people, which is grace. But the problem with the animal sacrifice is it does not forgive anyone. It's just a shadow. So Christ comes, Jesus comes, became a man, as a Lamb of God, okay, Lamb of God, and he sheds the blood. And that death and the blood is the penalty that you need to pay. That's the New Testament sacrifice. Now that sacrifice forgive sins and atone sin forever. Once and for all. So basically, Hebrews is basically saying there's an Old Testament sacrifice and there's a New Testament sacrifice. And New Testament sacrifice so much supremely better. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the priest. And Calvary is the altar. Everything is Jesus. And listen to this. Sacrifice is done. No more animal sacrifice. It's done. So he ascended, now seated on the right hand of God as a high priest, and he intercedes for us. Oh yeah, I paid for his sin. Father, I died for him. Oh, Father, I died for her. He's interceding for you. That's amazing, isn't it? I want to jump right to the final part. So, the question I want to raise is, why did Jesus go to the cross? Why did Jesus go to the cross? And I want to begin with Deuteronomy chapter 21, where God makes a covenant with his people. I'm going to be your God, but you need to keep this law. If you break this law, you will be stoned to death. And we read it on last Friday, basically. There's a section, if you dishonor your parents, you will be stoned to death. Most of you will be dead already. Me too. Right? It says, if you dishonor your parents, if you continue to be a glutton and just, you know, and drunkard and dishonor your parents, stone him to death. That's the law of God. Ten Commandments. And after that, after stoning him to death, hang him on a tree. Now, what is that now? Could you picture that? The corpse, after you were stoned to death, your body's all crushed up, bloody, and then you hang that body, corpse, on a tree. Could you picture that? You hang a corpse on a tree. What is that? It represents two things. Number one, curse of God by breaking the law. He broke the law and he deserved to be cursed. That's what it represents. Secondly, he's no longer in God's covenant grace relationship. He's outside of the relationship. Separated, judgment. That's what it represents. And I know you're getting it right now. Wait a minute. Isn't that what Jesus did? Exactly. Jesus became a man, and he hung on a tree, hanged on a tree. What does that mean? He was cursed, and he was abandoned. Why? He doesn't deserve to be cursed. He doesn't have any reason to die. He doesn't have any reason to be abandoned. Why? Because of you, because of your sin. Which ones? All of it. All of it. Even your future sin. Your adultery, your glutton, your idolatry, your sexual immorality, all of it. He took on himself. That's exactly what it says in Galatians 3:13. Christ, Jesus, redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It's amazing. Jesus became a curse of the law to redeem us from the curse of the law. You are under the curse of the law because you are lawbreakers. How many of you commit adultery? How many of you commit like some stealing? Did you steal anything from work? Pen? Paper? They don't count. How many of you dishonor your parents? How many of you covet someone else's things? Who's not guilty? So you're under the curse, and I'm under the curse forever before the infinitely holy God. And you're proud. God is asking you to return and you're refusing. You're proud. But Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Do you catch it? Now here's the fascinating verse that I want to share from 1 Peter 2:24. We shared it last night. Listen to this. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on a tree. You know, like, normally I would just like go right over it, but in his body kind of sticks out to me this week as I was meditating. He himself bore our sins. He became a curse. On where? In his body. In other words, Jesus had to have a body to hang on a tree. And God does not have that. So God had to become a man so that he could bore our sins and become a curse so that he will hang on a tree. Do you catch it? As I was looking at this, I was so moved this week. This gospel truth moved me. This gospel truth humbled me. He bore, which is the past tense of bear. In other words, he carried. Who placed upon him? You did by faith. God did by grace. He bore our sins. How? We gave to him and we imputed upon him by faith. That's the only way you live. That's why he carried it, right? He bore our sins in his body. He had to have a human body to carry so that he will hang on a tree, right? So he had to be a human being. And there is no other religion that talks about that. So when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, no one can come to the Father except through me, it's no lie. A lot of people say all religion leads to the same thing. Does it really? Do they really? Then Jesus is pathetically liar or confused. One or the other people. The tree or the cross is the only way for you to be saved. Can I just let you know that? That's the only way for your redemption, for your forgiveness, and for your atonement, for you to be able to go to God. We as a fallen, sinful, condemned human being, we broke the law. You are adulterers. I am too. Come on. You are stealers. I am too. You are dishonoring parent human beings who deserve to be stoned to death. I am too. We all deserve to. There is no way for us to be able to live before the infinite justice of God. Right? But he became a human being. And he bore our sins in his body on a tree so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. What do you plan to do in year 2023? You want to be the same? Just wallowing in whatever? Bitter, sexual sin, hungry for money. Is that where you want to be? Come on, people of God. Is there going to be any difference in your attitude? Is there going to be any different resolve in your heart? Don't wait for your husband. Don't blame your wife. If the husband or wife continue to follow Christ, that family has a hope. But if both of you be stagnant, then there's not much hope. Are you listening? Because I see so many people get married, children become stagnant. And I know I've been saying this for years, but people still fall into that. Let me finish up this gospel message, okay? There's only one person who could bore your sin. Only one person. Any other human being does not qualify to do so. Does not qualify because they need to die for themselves. Penalty of sin is death. If you are a lawbreaker, you need to pay the penalty. So if you're a human, if you're a human being, everyone is sinners, and we broke the law. So you cannot take anyone else's sin. There's only one person that qualifies. That's God-man, man Christ Jesus. Do you understand? This is the gospel, people. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. There is only one God. All the other false idols are images. That's a nothing. They're nothing. Nothing. Bible says they are nothing. They don't exist. There is only one God, and there is only one mediator between God and men. There's only one mediator. God, man, Jesus. Okay? Who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Either you take that or you live a religious life. It really is that. What do you want to do in 2023? Just continue to live that religiosity? Always feeling guilty. I got to try. But deep inside, you already have given up. You have given up. So many of you have given up. I could see it. Let me just at least go to the Bible study. I just want to close with this final thought. The Christian message is, Christian messages, Jesus hanged on a tree. That's what the Christian message is. The Christian gospel is Jesus hanged on a tree, representing curse, representing abandonment, rejection. Why? Because he bore our sin in his body. On a tree. Christ crucified is the good news. And that's the message of Christianity. Simple message. Don't say, oh, I cannot understand that. It's not that difficult, people. You refuse to understand it because you don't want to give in. It's not that difficult. It's not a matter of difficult. It's whether you want to submit to it or not. It really is, people. It's not because I don't understand it. He bore your sin in his body on a tree, which you deserve. Just want to just close with one thought. How much did he invest into this gospel? How much did Jesus and God invest into this gospel? All of it. All of it. And my question to you is, what should your response be then? Week? Occasionally? Doesn't make sense, right? I pray that the Spirit of God will speak to you people. 23, I pray that there will be a difference in your life. Difference in your life. I pray that you will be reasonable. The Christian message is Jesus hanged on a tree and he bore my sin in his body on a tree. Let's pray.